It's customary to begin in Breslau to begin a shiur with a melody. For Chag HaShavuot, and it was such a high Shavuos that they called it the Groisa Shavuos, the Great Shavuos. And it's brought here and it brings from Siyaf Sefer Kodesh that right after Shavuos was over and people were just about getting ready to leave, so Rav Nosson said, you know, it's been really great, it's been really high. He said, but don't forget that after Matan Torah, it was Egelah Zahav. So, it's not nice. Well, what is it reminding us of that Egelah Zahav right after receiving the Torah? But a person needs to know that every day of your life, you have to begin anew to serve God. Because Shavuos is one of the heights. It's a Har Sinai, it's a pinnacle, you know. But then there's also the day after Shavuos. Rav Nosson used to say that Rabbeinu said that actually it was Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson said that on Yom Kippur, everything is depending upon Yom Kippur. It's a very big day to pray all day and to fast and everything. What if it just didn't go for you? You know, you didn't feel well, and this and that. So there's the day after Yom Kippur. The day after Yom Kippur is called in Hasidus, they call it God's Nomen, the name of God. It's like Yiddish and English are very similar. God's Nomen, the name of God. Because on the day Yom Kippur, we begin Chasadim. All the days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur are Bechinat Adinim and Tichlam Tikat Adinim. You have to sweeten the judgments, but from the first day after Yom Kippur we begin to receive the Chasadim, the Chesed, and until we come to the pinnacle, which is like on Chag HaShavuos. But these first Chag HaSukkos, so but the first 4 days between Yom Kippur and Chag HaSukkot is also Chasadim, and the first day is there are 4 days, and it's Keneged the Shem of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the first day is called Yud, and the Ikar of the name of God is the first letter, which is Yud. So they in Chassidus they call it God's name, the God's name, because it's the Yud. So it's just really a regular prayer, a regular day. You don't have to. It's not tachanun, and you begin the same way. It's just every single day. It's not like Yom Kippur with all the extra prayers and whatever. But okay, so you didn't pray on Yom Kippur, so pray on the next day, the day after. So, why? Because it's a big danger. So now we have an incredible Torah. I don't know how you learn Mikutei Moran, but in the last years, I've been learning like in the Derech of, it's more or less the Derech of Avraham Reb Nachman's. Avraham Reb Nachman's used to go with each Torah, with everything. It was do his supposed to do on this Torah, and he would the whole day would go on the Torah, and he would learn the Torah for days and weeks and sometimes even months. So I've been going on this Torah now already for I don't know how long, maybe 2 months, but it's Torah Ayin Hei in the Mikutei Moran. Torah Ayin Hei, and we'll start.
Chelek Rishon.
Chelek Rishon. Yeah. You have books here?
Mm-hmm.
They're open. I even have it in English here. But you could do it. Does it matter? Sheva.
Who's Jewish in English?
There's two versions of the Torah, but I'm going to just start out with the version of Reb Nosson because that's the most clarified version. I have two Likutei Moran. Now I have three. It's also at least Baruch Hashem in this Beis Medrash they allow you to have Likutei Moran. You know, so,
it's only video of it.
God forbid. So the Torah begins with a passage and. Yevarchenu Elokim v'yiroto kol hafsei haaretz. In the very end, the Rebbe is going to explain that pasuk. We're not going to wait till the end. I always liked reading books. I like to read the last part of it in the beginning to see if it's a good ending. So I start with the end and then I see and then I go on to the beginning. So we're not going to do it right now at the very beginning, but maybe after a little while. We'll explain what the Rebbe is talking about here, about this pasuk. And the pasuk is Yivarchenu Elokim, that God should bless you, and Yiruoto, and there will be fearing of God, Kol Hafsei Haaretz, until the ends of the earth. That's a simple pshat.
So that's the Nevelat Seir, no? Huh? That's from the Nevelat Seir, Samach
San. We're singing it. Could sing it actually. It's good. We'll sing it maybe a little later. So the Torah starts out like this. Ki yesh midat nitzachon. Midat nitzachon umachloikes umilchama. There's a midah of nitzachon, of victory. And machlokes of arguing, and milchama, and war. Umida zot ba midamim shadayin lo avad behem et Hashem yitbarach. This mida comes from blood that a person didn't yet use to serve Hashem. Now, sometimes you could meet somebody, and no matter what you say, they'll always be making arguments against whatever you say. No, this is not right. That's not right. That's okay if it's somebody else, but what about if it's yourself? That's a little bit harder to get away from. So a person sees that very often his first reaction to other people is always to be negative, opposite, like, oh. And so where does this come from? I grew up in the what they call, I don't know what, the, I think they call it the love generation or whatever, the 1960s, you know, everybody's loving each other. It's not really, it wasn't really so much, that really wasn't really that true, really. But they wanted to, but they used ways of getting to it that were like so-called shortcuts, but they really weren't shortcuts at all. The only way to get to it is what the Rebbe says here. And how is that? It says like this. יש מידת ניצחון ומחלוקת ומלחמה. ומידה זאת באה מדמים שעדיין לא עבד בהם את השם יתברך. It comes from blood that a person didn't use yet to serve Hashem. כי עיקר מידת הניצחון הוא מדמים. The aspect of what does it mean nitzachon? You have to always be right. And by the way, this is a very big very big inyan in shalom bayis. The person to have shalom bayis, one of the first things he needs to know is that you have to let your wife to be right, because if you don't, you forget it. So. Even if it seems to you for sure a million percent that she's not right, but maybe she is. Maybe you just don't see right, you know. And if you'll give her that, then you'll find that your life will be very, very, very different. It'll be much more smooth and peaceful. Well, how do you get to that? What do you want to fight all the time? Where does this fighting come from? So this fighting comes, the Rebbe says, it comes because a person has blood that he didn't serve Hashem yet with. What does this mean now? Okay, so the Rebbe is going to go on to explain. Kamo shekatuv v'yez nitzcham. Rashi explains, what is yez nitzcham? Perush Rashi, damim. Nitzcham is damim. To go into this perush Rashi is going to be incredible. We're not going to do that today. Anyway, that's what Rashi says. V'tzari kol echad levatel midat ha'netzachon u'machlokes. Every person has to annihilate, to go out of this midah, this quality of you have to always be right and you have to always argue all the time. V'liyadov achrei shalom, and to run after shalom. So I was thinking about that. I'm going to talk about this Torah here, and the Beis Medrash here is the Rav of the Beis Kenat, it is shalom. It's midat shalom. That's really good. So you know, we always have things that we say. Well, you know, we always find the differences first. But I was thinking about it, and then while I was thinking about it, I also thought, you know, the Rav of Chut Shel Chesed is the Rav of Chut Shel Chesed is also his Rav is also my Rav. So we have the same Rav. Of course, we also have the same Rebbe. We have so many. I remember once talking with Rabbi Yaakov Meir Schechter, and he's one of the Gedolim of Breslov today. So I was talking with him about a certain thing with something to do with my children at that time. It was many years ago. So he said, "You think when the Rebbe said to find good points, this famous Torah in the Kutran, Torah Resh Pei Beit, that the Rebbe says the Torah 282. And that Torah, the Rebbe said, that Torah you have to go with every day. Not to forget that Torah 1 minute of the day. 1 minute of the day, of every day. So what does it say in that Torah? And that Torah, it says that a person has to judge everybody in the scale of merit. Even yourself. You have to even judge yourself in the scale of merit. So, and find always good points in another person. So we are always jumping the gun a little bit. We're always the first time we see somebody, the first thing we see in them is all kinds of, you know, he's not from my group, and he's not from, you know, and his group is the same group, but they're not the same way as we have. We have a different little bit of it. We have a different way, and always all these things are going on all the time. It's like no end to it. You know? So Yaakov Meir Schechter said, do you think when the Rebbe said this Torah, he meant that he was talking about only the about 60 or so Breslovers that were at the time? Breslov was very small in those days. And then it got bigger, but it still wasn't that big. In the biggest Rosh Hashanah that the Rebbe had, which was the last year when he was in Uman, they say that there was 1,000 people. But really, there was only 600. But they said, if there's 600, so that's already more than half. So then they said there would be a thousand. Really, there was only 600. So So you think when the Rebbe said you have to find the good points in every Jew, he meant only Breslevers? The Rebbe meant everybody. If you look at it closely, I heard this from Rav Erland. He said that the similarities between religious Jews, no matter what group they are, there are so much more similarities than differences. It's much incredible. You know, everybody puts on tefillin, and everybody keeps Shabbos, and everybody this, and everybody that. And there's a few things that. So maybe we believe in Hasbodrus. I don't know if we even do it so much, but at least we believe in it. But there's a famous story that Rabbi Yitzchak used to tell about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim. Reb Lev Yitzchak heard this story. Reb Lev Yitzchak Bender, he was one of the great Hasidim, the best of Hasidim from the last generation. I was zochet to be by his shirim for like Sipur Masid and the stories of the Rebbe for 9 straight years. Every week I walked long, many, many, many miles and hours to see him. Anyway, so he used to say the story about the Chofetz Chaim that he heard from his friend that learned in Yeshiva Radin by the Chofetz Chaim, and he said that every day the Chofetz Chaim would disappear for 1 hour a day from the Yeshiva, and nobody knew where he was. So his friend decided he's got to go find out what he's doing. So he kind of walked and followed him, and he found that he went to some room at the end of the Yeshiva, and he closed the door and he locked the door. And so then in those days they had keyholes on the doors. So he was looking in the keyhole, and he sees the Chafetz Chaim is sitting there, and he's going over his whole day. He's doing what in the world they call cheshbon nefesh. He's going over his whole day, and finally he comes and he says, "Yisrael Meir, the finit menut, there were 5 minutes that you weren't doing what you're supposed to be doing. You weren't praying properly. You weren't learning properly. Yisrael Meir, what's with this 5 minutes?" So Rabbi Lev Yitzchak used to say, the Chafetz Chaim, he said he was a litvashit tzaddik. He called him a litvashit tzaddik. Because it wasn't Breslev, he was a litvak. But he was a litvashit tzaddik, and still every day he had his butterness. What's going to be with us? We believe that the Rebbe told us we have to do his butterness somewhere. Are we doing it every day? Anyway, so the Rebbe says here, "V'le'edov achar ha-shalom," to run after shalom. "Ki lo matzah kadosh baruch hu kli machzik bracha li'Yisrael ela ha-shalom." The Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't find any vessel for that would be able to contain any vessel that would be able to contain the bracha for Israel except shalom. And he brings here, it's very interesting, he brings here that's a Mishnah in Masechet Uksin. Mazen is Masechet Uksin. Uksin is like the stem of a fruit that holds on to, like the apple, it holds on to the branch. So this is actually the last Masechet in all of Mishnayos. And this member of Chazal is actually Rabbi Shimon ben Chalapta. And Rabbi Shimon ben Chalapta, this is the Siyum of all of Shas. It's the end of all of Shas. Showing us, it's trying to tell us that like the last bracha in Shemona Esrei is Shalom, Sim Shalom, and Baruch Hashemah B'Shalom. And the last Mishnah in all of Mishnah is also Shalom. So how do we get to this? How do we get to this Shalom? So the Rebbe says, "V'zeh zochin al yedei shiyedaber arvei b'torah v'tfila." A person merits to this through speaking many, many words of Torah and Tfila. Kamuvan, if you just speak the words of Torah and Tefillah without koach, without strength, without kavana, it's not the same thing either. But at least start out by saying lots of words of Torah. Lots of words of Torah and Tefillah. There's a famous story about Rav Pinchas and Rav Shnelka. They were two brothers that they were big. They both afterwards became big tzaddikim, big rebbes. And they were in the beginning. They were students of the Mezra Magid. And Pinchas was a Balat Lo. He was wrote a sefer called Balat Lo. And he was Rav Pinchas May Frankfurt. And he was actually he lived most of the time in Hungary. They say that he was one of the rebbes. The Balat Lo was one of the rebbes of the Chassam Sofer. And they had two rebbes. The Chassam Sofer had two rebbes: Rav Nosson Adler and Pinchas, the Balat Lo from Frankfurt. And they say because of that, since he was a Talmud, Rav Pinchas was a Talmud of the Mezra Magid, so therefore, he was from the Chassidim, the Talmud of the Magid, the Talmud, the biggest Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, and then afterwards, we see that the Chassam Sofer, he became the biggest Rebbe in all of Hungary. All of Hungary held by the Chassam Sofer, and since he held by Chassidus, so I learned for 6 years in a kola. It was called the Kola of Matasdor, and the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Kola was Moshe Shmuel Toysik, and he used to every day when he came into the kola. It was a small kola in basis. So every day when he came into the kola, he always just give over some story in the beginning of the day. So once he came in and he said. That since he grew up when he was at, he grew up until I think in 1948 he was in Hungary and Matusdorf was Hungary. So he said that there was not one person in all of Hungary that didn't hold that the Baal Shem Tov was each Elohim, which is the first time that he ever heard anybody speak against the Baal Shem Tov, kilo, like making light of the Baal Shem Tov, saying, the Baal Shem Tov, kacha. He said he went like, I don't know where my chair is holding here, but he went like, this chair doesn't go back, I don't know what's going on here, the wall is too close here. But he went like, wow, like back in this chair, like he almost, he would do it every time he told the story. It was like he would fall over backwards, like, how could you speak about Ish Elokim, how could you speak about the Baal Shem Tov? So we'll go back to the story that we started out with. Rav Pinchas and Rav Shnelka, before they became big tzaddikim, so they were young, they were tzaddikim in training. So it used to be in those days that the people would take on upon themselves galus. They would go into exile, so to speak, and they would go from place to place. And where people didn't know them, and they would obey Hashem and whatever wherever they were. So they would go from one base of matters to another, and nobody knew them. And they were once in one place. They were there for a few days, and they were learning and davening 24 hours. Nobody paid any attention to them, and they were just doing their thing. So after 2 days, standing on their feet and learning and davening, finally, one of them, I don't remember which one it was, or Pinchas or Shnelka, fell onto the ground. And while he was from complete exhaustion, but when he fell down, he saw there was a kind of a pillow over there, and he grabbed the pillow and he put it under his head. So his friend Shmelka was yelling at him, says, no, he says, Shlafen al hayoren, you're sleeping all your days. What do you get up? What are you lying down for? He says, what do you mean lying down? I just didn't have any koch anymore. I just fell over, He says, if you didn't have any koch anymore, if you didn't have any strength anymore, how could you bring that pillow and put it under your head? So they're talking about to put all of your strength into the into the Torah Betchila. Arbe, Yanin. I want to tell two short stories about this. One is that a friend of mine was very close with Reb Levi Yitzchak Bender. He was an American, but and Reb Levi Yitzchak never liked to speak in anything except Yiddish. But he made an exception for this person because he would spend Sukkot by Reb Levi Yitzchak and other things. So one time he told Reb Levi Yitzchak, what am I going to do about such and such a thing? And Reb Levi Yitzchak said to him, pray for it, daven, tefillah. He said, but Reb Levi Yitzchak, I prayed. He said, larbot betfilah. He said, larbot betfilah. You know what that means? A lot of tefillah, more tefillah. You prayed, pray more. Pray stronger. The other story is it's an interesting story. It goes with a song. It's actually, I heard later that it's from a song from Reb Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. He was still a child. He was only 11 years old, and he met the Rav of Berlin. He met the Rav in the shul, the Breslover shul. This was going back. He's now this person that told me the story. He's now already a grandfather over a number of times. So I guess maybe he's about 55, something like that. Maybe so. It's like about 40 years ago. 45 years ago, the story. So he said they met, he and his friend, they met, they saw the Rav Berlin in the shul, in the Breslov shul, and he said, let's go ask him something. Because it was famous that whatever people asked him to do, he would do it if it was possible to do. So they said to him, can you take us to Shimon HaTzadik? Shimon HaTzadik from the shul is about a 15 or 20 minute walk. So the Rav said, sure, why not? And he took them in his arms, like they locked arms together, the two boys on each side, and he was in the middle, and he started running. And as he was running, so he started singing this song. With all my strength and with all my neshama, with all my mind, I only want to serve you. With all my strength and with all my mind, I only want to serve you. Nothing else. Yes, I obeyed the Rayimla, so there are a lot of things to do in the world. But we were created to serve God. I want to serve you. So if a person will do this, Bemet, I feel like And if the person will do this, b'emet, okay, so you can't start all of this all at once to do 18 hours, learning 18 hours of Gemara a day, but you could do an hour, you can do 2 hours, you can even do three, and you can add a little bit more. You know, that when Rav Naftali, that one of the best, biggest students of Rabbeinu, came to Reslev in the beginning, when he came to the Rebbe, so he was a businessman. He had a whatever, a business or store or whatever. And when he came to speak with the Rebbe asked him, what do you do? And he told him, I have the store and I this. And he says, and when do you work? When do you work in the store? He said, well, every day. He says, I don't think you have to have the store open every day. I don't think you have to work there every day. He says, I think it's enough to Yemei HaShuk. The days of the Shuk used to be Monday and Thursday. He says, that's enough, So the Rebbe said so. So I don't know if he closed the store. Maybe he got somebody to work with him, whatever. But he only came when Sheni v'Chamishi. So after another time, whatever it was, another few months, he came back to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said to him, what's happening now? He says, yes, Sheni v'Chamishi. So the Monday and Thursday. So the Rebbe said to him, Naftalia, I don't think every Monday and Thursday you have to be working in the store. It's a little bit too much. Until he became Oyved Hashem Mamash. Okay, so there's also a story from Rav Nosson that he had one of his Talmidim. He became a Kurab to Rabbeinu, to the Derech of Breslev, and the Rebbe, and he had a store also, and so he heard the story of Rav Nosson, I don't know, but he decided he's going to close the store. And Rav Nosson said to him, no, not yet. He says, don't close your store yet. He said, keep the store open, but every moment that you have spare time, that there's nobody there or whatever, just use it to serve God. Speak to God. His brother to do is learn, pray, every moment you have free. And then, in the end, you'll see it'll work out. I heard the story from, it seems to be contradictory stories, but everybody according to what his level is and what he's doing. I heard this once in a shiur, the Rav Berlin, he said that he brought from the introduction to Nishmas, what's the name of the sefer? What is it again? Yesh sefer Chai Adam, Yesh Chai Nishmas Adam. Chai Adam. So he was the socher, they call him the socher from Danzig. Chai Adam. So in the joke, they say the reason that he called the sefer Chai Adam, so nobody would ever make permit a kitzur. If you get the joke, but a kitzur means to make it short. So the name of his book was Chai, the Life of a Man. Nobody wants to make a short life, so they will never make it a short. Anyway, but that was on the Chai Adam is on Or Chaim, but on Yer Deah he has a Sefer Nishmas Adam. So the Sefer Nishmas Adam, there's a Hagdama, there's an introduction, and this introduction is explaining about what his Derech was in Avodas Hashem, his way in serving God. So he said that. And why do they call him the socher from Danzig? It means the businessman from Danzig. So it says there that he never wanted to use the Torah as a spade or whatever, as a shovel for in other words, to make his parnasah from learning Torah. So he didn't want to be like a Rosh Yeshiva or a Rav, they would have to do. He wanted to be able to be completely free to think in halacha and whatever he wanted and his derech of Avodah Hashem, but in order to do that, he had to have parnasah. He had to have some money because he had already 10 children and he had to feed them, and it wasn't simple, even in those days, and maybe even Kolchik in those days, and nowadays it's also not simple. So he decided he's going to be, it came to him to be a businessman and to be a socher, to buy things and sell things from one place to another. So it was, he says in this introduction, it was a very difficult way to make parnasah. But he had to go from place to place in those days, and driving wagons, and then he'd have to buy the things and sell them. He says, but there was never one day that he didn't learn at least a daf v'chetzi bi'iyun. And every time he had a moment, spare moment, back to the Torah. And because of this, he was zochet to become, his book was accepted in halacha by the whole world. Because whenever he had a spare moment, he was back to Torah v'tvila, back to Torah v'tvila. So the Rebbe is speaking. This is the simplest explanation. How does a person get out of nitzach, the midah, the bad midah of wanting to always be right, and the bad midah of always being machlokes, and the bad midah of always arguing all the time? What's going on here? He says, Larbot v'tarv v'tvila, with all of your strength and with all your might. And through this, slowly, slowly, you'll go out from all of these bad midot. Ki yesh machlekes, ki sheyesh machlekes, tzrichim lasot shalom. V'zeh ose shalom, u'bevechines ha'alat mayim nukfim. Ma ze mayim nukfim? What is mayim nukfim? The simple translation of the words doesn't mean really to us, doesn't yet mean anything, because we don't know what it's talking about. But I would say at least half of Eitz Chaim is talking about it, if not more. But really what it means is arousal from below. But there's going to be very soon here an explanation for Ibn Nosson. Was one of the best explanations I ever saw. And what is this inyan of Mayim Nukvim, to want to use all of your strength to come close to Hashem. So he says like this. A person has, this is still the lesson, but what Rav Nosson brought from Rabbeinu. When a person has a certain question, who bechinas machlokes, he has a kushya, an unanswerable question, so to speak. He doesn't know what's the answer. It's like the aspect of arguing, of machlokes. Ki chaluk libo, because his heart is like divided. Beino mevina davar, he doesn't understand. Ki nirelo, ki ilu advarim, sotrim, zet. It seems as if these things, they oppose one another, they contradict each other. B'chol kim zelze. About terutz, when he comes with a terutz, when he comes with an answer to his question, Azu b'chines ha'ose shalom. That's making peace. Ki al yedei ha'terutz u'ose shalom. Ben ha'devarim ha'nirim kecholkim v'sotrim zet zet. V'zeo b'chines ha'alat ma'im nukvim. And this is the aspect of raising up what's literally called feminine waters, but it really means like to from below to above, come from the desire to come close to God. Now we have in parentheses, the Rav Nosson gives his own explanation, and it's incredible. Of what is Mayim Nukvim? What is feminine waters? Ki ikar bechina ta'alat Mayim Nukvim hu bechinas ishtokikut v'ahava shemo'orer echad l'gabi chavero. It's the aspect of love and desire that a person is aroused for him and his friend, between him and his friend. Kigom, kesheechad mishtokek l'Hashem yitbarach. This is incredible what he says here. You have to listen. That first he says a love between a man and his friend, and then a right of his like, so to speak, between a person and God. So what is it? God, your friend? I don't understand what he's saying here, but it's incredible. He says, like between a man and God.
It's
brilliant. I mean, it's okay, soil at Sadiq Amiti. A friend to a man to his friend, not the tzaddik is my friend. But when Rav Nosson first came to the Rebbe, the first thing that the Rebbe said to him, Kimat, the very first thing the Rebbe said to him, he put his arm on his shoulder and he said, because Rav Nosson's problem was he never had answers to all of his questions. He had what's called a moach rat, a mind that's going all the time. And a person like that, it's written that it's very, very hard for a person like that to do tshuva. Because as soon as he has an answer to one question, he has another question on that list, another question on that answer, and then he goes on and on. He said, he could never ask enough. So the Rebbe knew this, of course, and the Rebbe put his arm around Rav Nosson. He put his arm on his shoulder, and he said, I want you to know that you have an emes, a good friend. You have a really true good friend that you can talk to him all the time. That's what he's talking about here. Who is your? You have to know. Okay, so there, you can't say that God is my friend. You know, is my friend. But really, if you ever really had a good friend, it's only the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And also, why do you go to the tzaddik? Because the tzaddik is the only person really that is in flesh and blood that really, really cares about your neshama. Because that's all he sees. He doesn't see anything else. And he's. I remember that. I learned once from Rabbi Gedalia Kenning. He was speaking about that. You know, there are people that are, you know, screaming at people because they mechalel Shabbos, they yell at them, you know, Shabbos. And if you scream at somebody, you scream at them and say Shabbos in such a way, Shabbos will be the worst thing in the world to them. It'll be like anger and, you know, machlekes v'nitzachon. He says, but really the tzaddikim are thinking and praying all the time, how can we bring these people back to God? How can we bring them close to Hashem? So when I first came to Eretz Yisrael, I was also privileged to be close with the old Amshin Abba Rebbe. So Yehuda Yerach Mil Meir. So he used to do, I don't know if it was every Shabbos, but he lived in Bayit Pagan, in a section of Jerusalem, and from Bayit Pagan to the main street of which is called Herzl Boulevard. So it's like about a kilometer to walk there, approximately. So he used to go with his gabbai, and his gabbai would carry on Shabbos. His gabbai would carry a magash, like a, how do you call it, a tray of cake, already cut up into pieces, and he would go to the main street of Bayit Pagan. And that main street wasn't in Bayit Pagan; it was outside of Bayit Pagan. So there were people that, unfortunately, they still didn't know that you're not supposed to drive on Shabbos, so they would be driving. But there was a stoplight there. So whenever there would be a stoplight and the cars would stop, the Rebbe would tell the Gabbai, come close. They would come close to the cars, and the Rebbe would say, good Shabbos, good Shabbos. And the people would look at him, he looked like a malach, Hashem Tzvako, he looked like an angel, you know, like a long white pants and like a face that looked like he was like, even in his 70s, he looked like a child, shining, you know. And the people would roll down their windows, and the gabbai would come and offer them a piece of cake. I don't know how many people stopped their cars and put them to the side and got out and went right to the Rebbe's Beis Medrash. I don't know how many, but maybe if not that Shabbos, maybe the next week. And maybe their children after them. They'll sing one song. Mm-hmm. This song came about because of, I happen to have been there. It was in Berkeley in California in the '60s, and Shlomo was invited to sing at the Berkeley Folk Festival, and all the big folk singers were there, Joan Baez and Howling Wolf and who knows who else, you know. And Rabbi Shlomo Karlovakos was there. But he came before 1,000 people that were in this concert. He was singing and he says, I'm staying at such and such a hotel and I invite everybody to come for breakfast tomorrow. So in those days, a lot of people didn't have breakfast, you know. So there were, out of 1,000 people, there were about 10 people that actually took him up on it. My friend that brought me there was a friend of his, and I didn't believe me, even though you're not going to believe me, I didn't come there for breakfast. I had breakfast. But because I wanted to hear some more stories and more songs. And more teachings. But I came also, the word got out that it's really true. He's really, you know, whatever you want. Afterwards, I heard from Shlomo that he really didn't have a penny to his name, and he just wrote a check, and he was just praying that it wouldn't come back. But the next day there were 50 people. By the end of the week, there were like the whole breakfast room in the hotel was packed with all Shlomo's people, you know, on his special. Anyway. During the nighttime, he would come in his hotel room. He would invite people to come, and he would sit and sing, tell stories from the Baal Shem Tov, from the Heidegger of Nachman of Breslev, the Magid, Moshe Lev Sasever. So he was in the middle of telling the stories, and while he was singing and telling the stories, so everybody that came into the room, so Shlomo got up and gave person a kiss. Is that Darko? So all of a sudden, after all this, you know, this, the room is packed. There's maybe at least 80 to 100 people in this little room. Some boy came into the room, and this boy was, you know, like, I don't know how old, maybe he's 16, 17. And he had a very, very bad skin, skin disease, whatever it is. Very, very bad. And he was like, he knew it, you know, and he came into the room quickly, and he went in and sat in the corner. And Shlomo saw him come in, I heard him tell the story. He said he's thinking to himself, Baruch Hashem, he went and sat in the corner and nobody saw that I saw him, so I don't have to go and kiss him because I just couldn't kiss somebody like, not that he looked like, even that he looked like that, that he was, you know, in such a condition. So then Shlomo said to himself, Ezi Shakranata, Ezi liar you are, you're talking about peace and love and brother and loving your brothers and you really don't want to kiss him. So he said, jumped up out of his chair, and he went over to him, and he said, "Hey man, I'm so glad to see you." And he put his arm around him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him. Shlomo said, "I could feel his tears pouring down on my face." So he thought, this boy thought for sure, nobody will ever kiss me in my life. Nobody will ever care about me. Gave him back his life. So Shlomo received a matanah from the Shemayim, a present from the heavens. And it was this song. Right after that, he made up this song. We flew over Har Sinai, wherever they say, I don't know where Har Sinai is at, but one of those mountains we flew over. Once I was in a shur with Rav Berland, and he was talking about Har Sinai and how there's all different versions of where the place really actually really was. And in the middle of the shur, there was at least 200 or 300 people there. He turned to me and he looked at me and said, Were you ever at Har Sinai? So I remembered the story, and I said, "Well, I once flew over Har Sinai." I didn't tell him the whole story, but okay. So we flew over Sinai. We went to Rephidim. There's a big army base there in Rephidim in the Sinai, and then we went to the Yam Suf. There was a naval base I think it's a place called Ras Muhammad, something like that. And in the meantime, at one point, while we're walking, like on the way, it's nice music. You know, yeah. They can do it together with the guitar.
It's reminding me, I have to leave.
Okay, one last story. So while we're walking on the way to go to this naval base, it was like a field, and they just found an Egyptian captive, like a captured Egyptian in the war, and he was like really in bad shape. He was like really all covered with wounds and blood and bandages and whatever, and he was like kneeling on the ground in the desert there. What was Shlomo's first reaction? He ran over to him and he said, "Peace, brother." No, "Shalom, shalom, brother." But he didn't say it like, you know, sarcastically. He said it like he really meant it. But he wasn't in any condition, you know. He didn't know whether they're going to cut his head off or whatever they're going to do to him. He just bent down over. But I could still see that to this day, you know, like, he's a Ben Adam. Okay, we fought against them. They wanted to kill us, and they were trying to kill us, but but in his state that he is in now, he can't do anything. What do you mean? Because I'll say that the reason that we don't say Hallel on Pesach, okay, the first day we say it two times in the nighttime and two times in the night, but in the daytime, but after that, the rest of Pesach, we say only Chetzi Hallel, and that's not even the Rabbanon, it's only the Minhag. Why don't we say Hallel? Because my people, the Egyptians were here, and Shvi Shel Pesach, we don't say because I created the Egyptians also. So I don't want them to die. I don't want them to be killed. Why don't they just hold their b'tshuva? That's on Yisrael. Shalom for the whole world. We basically feel it. So where did this come from? Now, where did this first reaction to Shalom come from with Shlomo? Because he did what the Rebbe says in his Torah, Ein Sof Torah V'Tfila. Ein Sof Torah V'Tfila. He told me once where did his melodies first come from? He said that when he was learning in Lakewood, on Friday night, says the other Talmidim, they could stay up until 12 o'clock at night, 1 o'clock, says, but he couldn't sleep on Friday night. He would stay in the Beis Medrash until there was nobody left. He would be the only one there, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. He would be there learning Gemara. And all of a sudden, these melodies started pouring into his heart and his head. When he was learning with Rabbi Aaron Kudler, he was the one who was Choser on the Shiur. Nobody else even understood this Shiur. And he would be the Choser on the Shiur. And how did he get to it? He told us once that when he was a young child, so he had a twin brother, and his father was a big rav in Germany, and he ended up miraculously coming to America. So his father said to his two sons, he said, you know, you have to pray Shmona Esrei three times a day. It's a very, very big thing. And they wanted to ride their bicycles because they were young boys, you know. So they made a cheshbon, they made a reckoning, you know, three times a day, if they pray, and there's 30 days in a month, so if they pray 90 times Shmona Esrei, then they can be free to ride their bicycles all the rest of the time. So they started doing it 90 times, you know, one 90 times the Shmona Esrei, one after the other. I think it will be Zoka to go on. To learn the rest of the Torah, we're not going to be able to finish it today. And all the other books that I brought here, I was different parts that I wanted to give over, but it's not time. But I just want to say one more little short word, if I'll be able to. So I told you in the beginning that I like to read the end of something. When I start to read something, I like to read the end of it. So the beginning of the Torah is from this pasuk in Tehillim that we say, Yivarcheinu Elokim Yiroso Kol Afsei Aretz. So the Rebbe says at the very end, he's explaining what is Afsei Aretz, the very last words of the Torah. Yivarcheinu Elokim Zebachinas Shalom. The Kilo Matzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Matzik Bracha L'Shalom, that God didn't find a vessel that would be able to Matzik, would be able to hold the blessing except for Shalom. The Yira also, Aino Yira, Shayadei Zeh, a person is Roed, is pure before God, Nidpatel Aguf L'Gamri, then his body is completely made annihilated. Al yedei diburei Torah betfila, v'zeu kol afsei aretz. Hayinu shekol artziut nasei efes ve'ayin. That all of his artziut, afsei aretz. What is it? Afsei aretz. It say the ends of the world, but the ends of the earth. But here the Rebbe is saying you make efes from your artziut, from your You know, like the Rebbe on could, when he would be giving over Torah, he could keep people in such a way. He says, I could keep them for days on end without wanting to eat or without having to sleep or drink or anything. They were just wanting to, just the longing to serve Hashem. And the last story, is that once I was on a Motzi Shabbos. And Rav Berlin had been in Tzvas for Shabbos, and with the Rav Ani, with his wife, and I was in the Beis Midrash on Motzi Shabbos in the old city, and just me and one other person were there. So the Rav called on the public telephone. He said, "I need somebody to come and take care of my to bring all the things. We're coming back with a lot of things, you know, and to bring them up to the apartment." And then the Rav lived in the old city, in the Rova Yudi. So I said, well, I'll have a chance to be Mishamesh, the Rav, you know, actually, you know, physically, to carry the pots and pans and the blankets and whatever. So I went with my friend, and the two of us went there, and a big van came with all the things, but the Rav wasn't there, because he was in a car, another car. He didn't come. So I said, okay. I didn't go to do it. I should be able to see the Rav. I came to be able to simply to carry the things. And we took us about four trips. We carried all the things up to the right to the doorstep of his house, and we're just about to go down the stairs, and all of a sudden the Rav came. And I asked him some questions about my children and this and that, and then he turned. He looked at me. And he said, to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a Torah scholar, and to be a tzaddik, are two completely different things. He said, okay, we're talking about learning Torah, and yeah, it's very, very important, but to be a tzaddik is something else entirely. He says, how do you get to be a tzaddik? Is kol apsei aretz. You have to annihilate your body completely. And I started shivering. The last few words. I started shivering. I thought, wow, he's going to give me all kinds of tikkunim, what do you call it? Sigufim. He's going to tell me I have to fast all the time and I have to do all kinds of, rolling in the snow and mikvahs and the ice and everything. I didn't know what. I was terrified. Then he said he went with this motion on his hand. He said, you have to lebatel et haguf legamrei, kacha, kacha. So then he turned to me and he said, what does the body hate more than anything in the world? To dance. Sich arbe lirko. Hashem is Olam Achshav, Ki Hazman, Yeh Chatuna Ot Matot Shavua, Pochot Me Shavua, one of my grandsons. And we should all be Mishtatev, but Simcha is, you have a chance to dance now, we have weddings now, we should dance, and come to Apsei Aretz, and learn Torah Yom Belayla, Belagia Lemidat Shalom, to get to the Midah of Shalom, to Mibatel all the Machlekes amongst all of them Yisrael. Yeh Shalom Rab, Bekol HaOlam, Yeh Geula Shleima, V'meir Yemeinu Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your patience. We're hanging out the way I'm sorry.
Tudah Rabah.
Yeah.